Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for iPad Today is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
Coming up, summer reading had me a blast, and you're going to have a blast with me not singing anymore, but with some apps.
Oh, I didn't know what you were going to do there, and it just shocked me. Plus, we're going to talk about Apple's podcast apps and how it stands up to some of our favorites. And is the Daily dying?
What? What? I can't hear you over those iPad mini rumors.
Summer loving had me a blast.
Roll tape.
iPad Today is brought to you by GoToMeeting with HD Faces. GoToMeeting from Citrix just takes a webcam and a click to turn your online meeting into a high-definition video conference. Meet with colleagues anywhere in the world, even from an iPad. Sign up for your 30-day free trial at GoToMeeting.com. Click the Try It Free button. Use the promo code iPad. And by Ford. Featuring the My Ford Mobile smartphone app for electric vehicles. The My Ford Mobile app makes the electric driving experience fun and efficient. Learn more about Ford electric vehicle technologies at Ford.com/technology. Oh, well, oh, well, oh, well, oh, well. Are you going to go see Olivia Newton-John when she comes to town?
She's no, I won't.
Town? No, I don't think so.
But I used to like Let's Get Physical. I used to roller skate to that song at the roller rink.
So did everybody.
Yeah. That was a good one.
Sarah, welcome back. We missed the hell out of you.
Thank you.
Where were you gone? Like 6 months?
It felt that way to everybody else. To me, it went by.
Went too quick, I'm
like
sure.
I was gone from this show for 3 weeks, although hopefully none of you, besides
noticed.
The fact that we talked about it before we left, that we were shooting some shows a little bit out of order and ahead of time, hopefully it wasn't too big of a deal.
No, it was great. It was good for me. I had Thursday afternoons off for a little while.
Yeah.
Now I'm back to work.
Yeah.
But also, we missed a few things, and we're going to cover those things because there were not a lot. We were a little worried that if we recorded ahead of time, we might miss some big story.
Right.
And there weren't a whole lot of big stories, but we will cover what happened.
There were definitely things. On vacation, I did my best not to do much work, but I definitely kept up to date because I don't actually have fun when I'm not
did
on
you
Twitter
bring,
every day.
What did you bring with you? We think we talked about this one before you left. You brought your iPad.
I brought my iPad.
Your iPhone.
Of course. My iPhone. I brought my laptop, but I never used it except as
That's
a charging hub.
Isn't that interesting?
I used it when I was in London because I was actually Skyping into
You were working
TNT,
at Le Web.
And I need that, yeah, for work. But once we were actually on vacation, I mean,
right
I could
on.
Tell. I would open it, and it's like the last tab I had open was from 2 weeks ago.
Wow.
I was not using it.
Oh, did you use your iPad?
Every day.
Every
all day.
Day.
Not all day.
As for reading, for enjoy, you know, or for research, what, like, what, how?
Yes, well, so at the end of the day, even when I'm not on vacation, but particularly when I am, and it's like, oh, my feet hurt, I'm going to, you know, sit back in the hotel room and just kind of absorb some stuff for a while, the iPad is perfect for that.
Fire up Flipboard?
Yeah. Flipboard or Tweetbot, or I just want to read a book for a while, or...
Well, that ties into exactly what we're going to do this week.
What I would also do is, even though I didn't always have my iPad in my backpack when I was walking around taking pictures of beautiful things, I did always have my iPhone. Once you save stuff, like even if I take pictures in Camera Plus, save it to my camera roll, then that's in PhotoStream. Then I edit it on my iPad later that night. Because it's more fun to play on, I think, photo editors on the iPad because you just have more screen real estate. I could do that for hours.
The nice thing about having iPhoto on your iPad, and I mentioned this when we came back from Norway, is all your pictures are now in there. Whether you take them with an iPhone or a regular camera, you get them in there.
Yep.
And now you can create that slideshow, the photo book, email people right from there. You did another thing, and I wanted to mention this on the show, too. When you got to London, you were able to buy a SIM card for your iPhone.
I was.
Let's tell everybody about that, because that's something people always want to know.
Yeah, it was actually an extremely good deal, and it was not one that I could replicate in France, which was extremely frustrating. Get to London, and I've had so much trouble in the past with saying, okay, Verizon, I want to buy, you know, 200 megabytes for $200 for my international roaming, so I'm not charged
And it's the same
dollars.
Thing with AT&T.
Yeah.
All the carriers, they charge you a lot for international roaming.
Right, but it's better than just not getting a deal at all.
You
and I decided, you know, every time I come back, they end up charging me $7,000, and I have to have all these conversations with customer service representatives, and I'm not going to do it. So what are my options for local SIMs? And it turns out that voice and texting, not interesting to me. Data is what I want.
Right.
I don't need to call anybody in London.
It's nice to have a phone. The only reason I like having my original SIM is in there is because if somebody wants to reach me, they can call my regular number and I'm there in France and I can answer the phone.
That's true.
But it's so expensive.
Right.
And that doesn't happen.
I feel like with Skype,
right,
people can just Skype me because there's only going to be
a few
people I really want to talk to in an emergency
and they could message
situation.
So when you put a British SIM in, though, you now have a British phone number. You're no longer at your regular number. You would have to forward your number to that number if you wanted to receive calls.
Yeah, it's doable.
Yeah.
But yes, you're working with a different number at that point.
Right.
I didn't care about that. So I ran into Scott Beal of Laughing Squid, actually. He was at LeWeb as well. And he goes, oh, you know what you're going to do? There's a company called Three, which is the number Three. They sell for £15 sterling a SIM card that's unlimited data for 30 days.
That's like $25.
I'm like, what?
That's unbelievable.
What is the catch? Why don't I have that at home?
Yeah.
I don't even need the rest of my phone. I just want my data, unlimited data. And it truly was because I used the crap out of that.
Well, and that's the interesting thing because you can still get text messages from Messages or no?
Yes, if you're both using iPhones.
So that, and probably all your friends use iPhones, so that even means you can be in kind of messaging contact as well.
You can, but I...
Or Facebook messages.
There's Facebook messages. MG and I use Pair.
Right.
It's like, I really just need the data. I really do.
It's
so
really
that was awesome. Once I got to France, the whole thing went to hell in a handbasket.
You couldn't get anything like that.
Well, I visited like 5 different Orange stores. That's a chain. They all had different rules. Depending on the mood of the customer service representative,
that's France,
I think.
For you.
And my French is really bad, so I don't know. Maybe they held it against me. But I at one point found a 1 week of unlimited data for, I think it was like €9.
Well, that's not bad.
Seemed like a good deal.
Yeah.
But I was like, can I just get 2 weeks? No. Only one. Can I just get 2 SIMs then? Because I don't want to come in again in a week? No. So, all right, I'll just come back in a week. And then when I did, they said, no, we don't know what you're talking about. Never heard of it.
So if anybody has a suggestion, because we're going to go back to France, I think. I'm going back. I know you're going back.
Yeah, you're not going without me.
We love France.
Yeah.
I didn't go with her this time, folks. Don't get confused. She went with MG. But next time we're going is probably December for LeWeb.
Woohoo.
Let us know. I would love to find that same solution in Paris, where you just buy a SIM card, put it in your iPhone, and you don't have to pay that exorbitant data roaming charge.
I also found in a pinch, when you don't have a paperclip, this is how you get your SIM card out of your phone. Hey, that's DIY right there.
Is that made out of liquid metal, that earring? Is that an official SIM card puncher outer?
It's not, but it still works. And
that's
pretty proud at the train station that day.
You didn't do that on the iPad, though. You didn't put a data SIM in your iPad. You could have, I guess, huh?
Yeah, you totally could have. I didn't find that I was out and about with it enough to care so much because I usually had Wi-Fi back at the room. We also had a little Wi-Fi that was with us.
That's a nice thing about having an iPhone and an iPad.
You've got everything you need.
You really
do not need a laptop.
You have a computer.
You don't. Unless, for whatever reason, you don't like external keyboards for the iPad and you think you're going to be doing a lot of typing.
Right.
I wasn't. I just wasn't. It wasn't what I was doing on this trip. But I can't wait for the trip where I don't need the laptop at all. And I won't miss it.
I think you're there. You
pretty
hardly,
much.
Yeah.
Yeah.
How interesting.
It is nice for a charging hub, though.
It's a kind of a fancy charging hub.
I know. But that's what it was, pretty much. Hey, so I thought... based on the fact that we've got some really cool apps that have come out over the last few weeks, and the fact that we're in summer and a lot of us maybe have a little bit more free time than usual, certainly if you're a student, you might be sort of kicking back with the iPad and looking for stuff to read, waste some time. We had a little summer reading theme. Now, of course, reading might be a magazine or a book, but it also might be, I don't know, Social Network or breaking news, that sort of stuff. So we should start off with something that's pretty new, actually. This came out earlier this week because you guys talked about it on MacBreak Weekly, and that's Next Issue. Did you talk about it on Twitter as well?
We didn't because it came out on Tuesday.
Yeah, it's a Tuesday thing.
So this has been out for Android. It's not new, but it's new for the iPad. And, you know, I kind of like it.
So I like it, too. And for anybody who's unfamiliar, the deal is that for $10 a month or for... If you
get monthlies. For $10 a month, you get the monthly magazines.
Right. And
if
I think
you
there's
pay
about 26 of them or
so. If you want the New Yorker, Time, weekly magazines.
People magazine as
then
well.
Then it gets expensive. It's
Sports Illustrated.
$15 a month.
Right. So it's $10 a month or $15 a month. But
it's like Netflix for magazines. Flat fee, all you can eat from the magazines they have.
But it does not make sense unless you're the person who's like, yes, I will read Vanity Fair,
exactly,
and Time and Wired and Condé Nast Traveler and Bon Appetit. These are all magazines that I've decided that I will read.
Yeah.
Those are the ones that I'm paying for. So it's
funny. You and I have pretty much the same thing.
Really?
Except I have GQ. You probably didn't get GQ on there.
GQ is a little, not targeted towards me. But I'm sure that the articles are really, really smart.
Sports Illustrated, probably not for you.
What's nice about this is a lot of people hate Newsstand. So this has a very Newsstand quality to it. But it's its own app. It's not actually going through the iOS Newsstand app. Whether I don't hate Newsstand as much as some people do, but some people really do, so that could be a plus for you.
It's also got some more interactivity than just turning pages in a magazine.
Right.
For instance, the current Vanity Fair has a great article about Alec Baldwin. I love Alec Baldwin, right?
Too.
Who doesn't love Alec Baldwin?
Some people think he's a jerk, but I think he's hysterical.
Well, and that's what they talk about, because some people do think he's a jerk.
I mean, he probably is. I still think he's funny.
Well, he's got, he's got a personality. Let's put it that way.
Right. He's got a great voice.
Actually, this is the wrong one. Let me go to Vanity Fair, because I want to show you one of the interactive features that you could only do on an iPad that you couldn't do in a magazine. And I particularly like, they have an Alec Baldwin soundboard in here.
That's great.
Isn't that hysterical?
Uh-huh.
So let me great pictures, by the way. And here's the Jack Donaghy soundboard. By the way, some magazines are portrait and landscape, some are not.
I like when a woman has ambition. It's like seeing a dog wearing clothes. Once I set my mind to something, I have to accomplish it. 10 years ago, I was an inch and a half shorter than I am today. Sheer willpower.
So that is something you can't do on a regular magazine that I think really enhances this.
Yeah, absolutely.
There's video as well.
There is. And also, so I've got People Magazine open because I've been reading about Tom and Katie. Hey, I got to catch up. I was really out of the loop. They have the same news over there. But, I'm just flipping through People Magazine. This is the sort of magazine where I'm not going to take the time to pick this up in a newsstand. Sometimes it's at my gym.
See, here's the thing. How much is People
gym,
Magazine? Is it like $3?
Oh, I don't know, because I've never actually had a subscription.
I think it's maybe $5. So if you are the kind of person, and I have to admit, sometimes I am, where you're at the grocery store and, they put it right by the checkout and you go, oh, I got to find out. And you put it on the belt.
Yes.
If you did that 3 or 4 times a month, this would be a good deal.
Right.
I think that's the calculation we have to all make.
I think the challenge I think that they have is what you're describing is something that happens to me. When I go across the street to Petaluma Market, I go, I'll just walk back to my desk and look it up on the internet.
Right.
Because I don't actually have to buy that magazine.
You do that.
But then it's kind of like a messy version of the nice version that that's what magazines still have over just the internet in general. The data's on the internet, of course, but it's not necessarily in this nice package. So if you like your magazine, but you don't want to be, buying a bunch of magazines and that sort of thing, I'm sorry, Tom and Katie. I don't want to care. I really don't want to care. Unfortunately, I'm too
Well, I don't know. Since that came out, I think they settled. Here's a video behind the scenes at Alec Baldwin's photo shoot. So this is, again, something from Vanity Fair that you would not get in the magazine.
Vanity Fair's great.
That's kind of fun.
Yeah, that's great.
There are some long-form magazines. By the way, you can get Vanity Fair. It's mostly Condé Nast magazines, which I thought was kind of interesting. This is the control. You can slide through it like this.
Very cover flow-esque.
Yeah, and you see here's all of the articles. Like, if you're interested in this Microsoft, well, this was a kind of a big deal all about, what happened? Oh, it jumped. Steve Ballmer. Okay, maybe that's a bug.
They don't want you to read it.
There you go.
I think it just
Monkey Boy.
Didn't stick.
And here, this is also interesting. So they hide the caption. So you have to touch if you want to see the caption, which I think is kind of, you get a better picture. Now, here's some of the frustration. I want to pinch.
Yeah,
you can't zoom.
There are iPad things that we just expect to be there that aren't.
That may get better. I think that may be the publishers who are not putting all this functionality in. They do say they're going to be adding more magazines. I think it's a pretty good selection. As I said, many Condé Nast magazines. It's interesting because, for instance, I read The New Yorker. I subscribe to The New Yorker, and I have The New Yorker app on here. But you really wouldn't need to subscribe anymore.
Yeah.
If you did this.
I really like the New Yorker app, and we've talked about it several times on the show before. But if the New Yorker was just one of 5 to 10 magazines you were reading once a month, this makes a lot of sense.
I agree.
A friend of mine on Twitter made a good point, though. He's like, if you're the kind of person who's really reading that many magazines, you probably prefer them in print because you're like a magazine person.
I don't know.
I think that might be true for some folks.
I don't know. I think the idea of having all of this in your iPad means that you've got your entire library.
Yeah.
You've got your books. You've got your magazines. I think it's compelling if you like the iPad. And we were talking about summer reading,
read,
right?
Really.
You're taking your summer reading with you.
Yeah.
Instead of a bag full of, and you see these on the airplane all the time, bag full of magazines. No, it's all here. Now, there's stuff missing. The Economist is not in here. Should be. So you might, you know, you might.
There are a lot of things. Not every magazine in the world is here.
No, far from it.
In fact, it's a.
So you got to look at
truncated list.
I think what you have to do is look at it, and mm-hmm. and it's for some people. If you're a lover of magazines and they've got the magazines you read, this is a great deal. This is like Netflix. It's
absolutely
a great deal.
And one thing I noticed because I hate notifications as far as email goes. When you if and when you download next issue, go ahead and go into your settings.
Turn it off.
Notifications. Turn off email, which is on by default. They're going to email you anytime an issue is available. Weekly issues. Please don't do that.
Yeah.
I like to opt into those sorts of things, but hey, that's not a deal breaker. It's still a pretty cool app. And of course, the app itself is free. It's just what you want to subscribe to.
It's called Next Issue.
And you can either try out the $10 a month version or the $15 a month version. Not really sure why you wouldn't get that unless you just hate weekly magazines.
Right.
For 30 days for free. They will automatically start charging you if you don't cancel within that 30 days, so keep on it.
You have to give them a credit card.
You do have to give them a credit card, but the first 30 days are free. That's what I'm using.
And I do say, for instance, here's the New Yorker. They're using the New Yorker typeface. It really is very much like reading the New Yorker. It's beautiful. I would love to see more features, you know, the ability to double tap a word for a definition, just little things that you could, as since it's a digital platform, we could take advantage of. I hope more of that will come along. I don't know if it's built into the app or if it's something that the app has to add. But, I am a magazine reader. I like it. And what I don't like, this is interesting. So here's a poem in the New Yorker, and the author reads it.
Love it.
Love those kinds of touches. Let's see more.
And in the meticulous distance.
Let's see more of that.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Next level. Or next issue, rather.
Next issue. The next reading app that we want to talk about is... It's sort of reading, but it's actually much more interactive. And that, of course, is Google Plus.
I love what they did. What do you think?
I love it.
This is even better than the iPhone and the Android version.
It is. Well, it's because it's bigger. Well, not necessarily.
It is bigger.
Android can be many different sizes. But the iPhone version, when it came out, I went, wow, this looks so much better. It's really, really nice. I don't know how often I'm going to use it because... It's too visual for my small iPhone screen for me most of the time. On the iPad, it's perfect. It's beautiful. What is great about it, specifically that I love, is if you're in landscape mode, it scrolls to the right. That makes sense, doesn't it?
Yes.
It completely makes sense. When you're in portrait mode, it scrolls up
That's clever.
To the bottom. Yeah, it just... And it took me a while at first. You know, I'm going, what is the problem?
Yeah.
Why won't this thing scroll? And then I realized, oh, okay, they're so smart that they've figured out a couple different solutions for me. So, for example, Robert Scoble has this really, really nice picture that he shared. I go ahead and click on that.
This is something that bugs me. Now, see that?
What?
The post is up on top of the picture. Can you show me how to get rid of that? Oh!
You just click it.
No,
click
it doesn't.
Or tick
it's easy.
It's a toggle on and off thing.
Okay.
It was driving
me crazy because I'm looking and I can't read I can't see the picture.
I mean, I see what you're saying, but it's
kind of non-obvious. Okay, so I need to tap it and it'll go away.
Yeah, so you've got your comment stream here. This is obviously Robert's initial post.
That's actually clever. I didn't get it. Okay.
And then if you want to go ahead and hide that, you know.
So you can scroll through
screen.
It.
Yeah, so this is, I mean, and that's just a photo, right? There are lots of different kinds
of photos. There's videos, which is nice.
There's videos. And then you can also start Hangouts from within the app, which
I
is
love
extremely
that.
Helpful.
Now, without remember how hard
camera,
it was to figure that out in the Google Plus app on the iPhone.
Yeah.
It's easy here. You just tap Hangout. It's right over there in the left, and you can start a Hangout.
Got your notifications.
Yep.
I've got notifications about, I don't know, what... yeah, if I want to start a Hangout, it's got a handy-dandy way to let me know who might be online.
I'm going to call Chad here.
call
Let's
him.
Let's see.
I'm going to call you.
You want to call me? I'll answer. Let's start a Hangout.
Yeah, let's do it.
All right.
Let's start.
So it will ring like a phone rings. So this is interesting because in a way this is like Skype or something, right?
Answer me.
I hear you ringing. I hear you. Oh, I know why. Because I'm in my Hangout myself. Now, how do I...
It should be upper left. Oh, Leo.
Who's calling?
I thought I thought we were going to be so butter smooth on
Where
the show.
Where is this? Where is it?
I actually don't know.
Call me again.
I've never actually... Wait, no. See, you're doing it too quick. Okay, click and now leave it alone. All right.
Okay, I hate it when
again.
That happens. Okay.
Okay, starting the hangout.
Be who you are and say what you feel. Stop ringing. What did I do wrong?
I don't know.
The ringing was from Sarah's iPad. So if I turn up Sarah's iPad...
Oh, you're not actually calling me. That's why.
Well, it is, but you're not seeing it.
Well, whatever. Maybe you're on... I don't know. I'm calling one of your other computers.
Who are you calling? Call laporte@gmail.com.
Oh. Well...
Is there a notification on the top?
I don't want to do this right now. Okay, the hangouts work. We're just stupid. It's going to be fine,
everybody.
We're
not that stupid. I think we're pretty smart.
Well, we're smart, but this is one of those live things that doesn't really work out that well.
We didn't
practice
this.
I have laporte@gmail. That's the problem.
Yeah, you're probably not in there.
That's yeah. why I'm not able to
call you. What do you, let me start a hangout. All right. No, you don't want to do this anymore.
No.
Okay.
The hangout window has passed. We're hanging out in person. Right, Ozzy? You guys notice that there's a dog on Leo's lap, right? I'm not just looking at his foot and talking
to him. I just have a hairy lap. There's a nose there.
Little Ozzy. Hey, so Google Plus, obviously, it's really, really nice. It still remains to be seen if I'm going to use it on a daily basis. That's something I struggle with.
That has more to do with the content and the network. The software is great.
Yeah.
Highly recommended.
It looks awesome. Yeah. It's I mean, if anything has made Facebook look disgusting, it's this app.
Yeah.
If you want to compare, and I know that they're not direct comparisons, but they're the two I think of at least most competing with each other.
I think Google's doing some nice mobile software.
I do, too.
And that will help more. I think that will encourage more people to use it. Compare it to the Facebook app, which is terrible.
Yeah.
And although Facebook says they're rewriting it, and they're not going to write it in HTML5 anymore. So they've learned that.
Right, yeah, they're all committed now. Facebook and Apple are friends again.
Yeah.
Hey, so breaking news. Do you follow breaking news on Twitter?
I do.
I do, too.
Yes.
Breaking news.
Something just happened?
Now has an iPad app of its own.
You're kidding.
Not even in the slightest. I am being completely honest.
Now, this isn't CNN.
No.
This is who?
MSNBC.
It's NBC's breaking news.
Yes.
Okay.
But... breaking news is nice because they do pull from a variety of sources. That's the nice thing about the Twitter account. So, and you might say, well, if I follow the Twitter account and, you know, I have notifications on, for example, would I really need my own app? I'm just going to see it. You know, it's all a matter of taste. For me, if I'm really, really interested in breaking news and specifically a certain story,
mm-hmm.
my Twitter feed is a mess. I can follow that feed specifically, but it might kind of be nice to be in its own app. What's nice about this breaking news app specifically is here are all of the Twitter updates that I would see in the Twitter app itself. So here's all this stuff. If I'm interested in this developing story about a tornado in Florida, I can go ahead and click into this and view this on Twitter.com, where I can go to the original article, which might be in some sort of regional network somewhere, right? Okay, so there's that. If I want to follow a certain topic, I've already put in here California, U.S., because obviously I live in California. I'm interested in stuff that happens statewide. I can go ahead and follow stories that are attached to a certain topic. The way that I do this is when you're reading stories at the bottom, it'll say this was tagged under California or Arizona, that sort of thing. And then you can say, yeah, pin that. I want that to be part of topics that I follow regularly. Or here are ongoing stories. So just you're searching through stories that for a variety of reasons a lot of people are talking about. Unrest in Mali, Favio, Trayvon Martin, the 2012 Olympics. Got to know what's going on with Favio. Oh, Tropical Storm Favio.
Damn.
Damn. That's going to be something better.
And this is going to give you the alerts that CNN's or the New York Times or other news apps give you so that you'll know when breaking news happens. You'll
right.
get an alert on your notification on your screen. I like that. I like having those
right.
notifications. I think that's, for, you know, some reason that to me really works.
And with Twitter for iPhone, the new app, and with Tweetbot... for iPad, you can say, I want a notification. You know,
if it's when hashtag breaking news?
Well, no, just when a certain account tweets.
Okay, so I could set it for breaking news.
Not
okay.
just for everybody, but
got
you
it.
Could.
Got
you could
it,
do
it.
That. So it's really a matter of taste. This app is totally free. So if you like breaking news, I think it's a great Twitter account. I actually learn about the majority of stuff that really is, you know, breaking from that account, and you're not on Twitter, this might be a good app for you.
I have to say, as these apps come out more and more, I really feel like the iPad is getting to be a better and better platform for just, like, keeping in touch, for staying on top of what's going on. It really is the kind of thing you just kind of want to have all the time with you. It's great. I really like it.
Agreed.
I downloaded it and installed it.
Yeah, it's good. I like when there's a little bit more innovation than just, well, you have the Twitter feed.
Right.
Get used to it. So on the reading front, you are regressing into childhood.
You said reading, and I thought immediately, well, one of the things I loved when my kids were little, they're adults almost now, but when they were little, we had, remember the Broder Bund? You wouldn't, but the Living Books CDs where you'd have Arthur, and they had Reader Rabbit. And I thought, boy, it'd be really great if they'd bring those to the iPad. They kind of died on the desktop.
Yeah.
Well, they have, with mixed results. So I'm going to show three different apps that if you have young children, and we know young children love the iPad, mm-hmm. are going to get them reading on the iPad.
And we do get a lot of emails from people saying, I know it's not a show for kids, but once in a while we'd love some
adults
more
have kids.
Ideas for apps for children.
So I was really excited when I saw that Reader Rabbit had come to the iPad. This was an app that really helped young children learn to read. It starts pre-readers, goes through kindergarten and second grade. It's from the Learning Company. But immediately when this started launching, I went, oh, this... the resolution doesn't look great on this. Mm. And what I realized as I started playing with Reader Rabbit is this is a direct port of the 640 by 480 uh-huh. PC game. They did not enhance the resolution. They did not change the game at all. Some of you will say, great. I mean, the Reader Rabbit is a program that really helped people, young people read. For instance, it's upside down. Why does it assume... that the only orientation...
Well, no, it just...
Oh, there it is.
Yeah.
Okay.
It just...
So I'm going to be
it's
Leo.
It's a little wonky, basically.
It's a little wonky. It crashes a little bit. New player. Start. Okay. Kids did love this.
Adventure.
And Abby learned to read to a great deal because of these Living Books, the Learning Company, and things like this. So I was pleased to see it come back. I was a little bit disappointed. You see this? This is going to frustrate a small kid. It's not a very good port. But if you like the original Reader Rabbit, you'll be happy to know it's the original Reader Rabbit.
And I'm sure there are kids who are going to, you know, thumb their noses at a non-retina type thing.
Most kids probably won't
but
notice.
It's, if the kid wants Reader Rabbit.
I then saw a couple of weeks ago, while you were gone, a press release from a company saying we are going to bring back the Living Books series from Broder Bund. Now, books like Arthur's Teacher Trouble were fantastic for my kids.
The bell rang.
These are better ports.
Day of school was over.
These will read the books to you. The kid has to learn that you swipe in the right direction, right
the
to left,
ran out of every classroom
to read along with this.
Mm-hmm.
And it's interactive. I think kids will enjoy this. One of the things, you have coloring, you have puzzles.
Puzzles.
This is nice. Now, it's for smaller kids. It is not particularly innovative. But again, for me, from a nostalgic point of view, and I think for many parents, it'll be nice to see things like Arthur, which kids watch on PBS, of course, come back to the iPad. But once I showed you these, I really had to go and say, well, but what is the best in class out there? And the truth is, there is better stuff for kids. For instance,
The Cat in the Hat,
the Dr. Seuss books
Dr. Seuss.
Have been
Love
so
them.
Well done that I would recommend these. So I think maybe the lesson of this is it's great to see the ports of older CD-ROM titles and stuff, but the stuff that's designed for the iPad probably is better for the iPad. And this is fantastic. You see the words being highlighted. It will read to the kids, but they also have interactive mode.
And Dr. Seuss books are beloved by all ages.
I sat there with Sally.
I mean, I loved reading these to my kids.
We've talked about other Dr. Seuss books in the past, and we were both like,
we had something to do.
See this? So I tap them, and it sat.
To go out and to
this is also for early readers and a way to learn how to read. And I think these are good.
House. House. So all we could do was to sit.
Yeah.
It's well read too, don't you think?
It's like kids are learning without realizing they're learning because it's kind of fun and wacky
right.
and zany. That one's $3.99, the other two are $2.99 each.
Yeah, they're not expensive. lots less than the CD-ROM titles were.
Sure.
And I think these are really great.
Well, it's like when you're putting together a puzzle, right? If you're using a mouse, that's a little bit more of a learning curve than just, well, just put your finger in, on the iPad screen and drag it around. And it just makes more sense as far as fun little games and learning goes.
You can see the same company, OM, does a lot of stuff, including the Berenstain Bears, their Smithsonian titles, Little Critter. Everybody loves Little Critter. So I have to say, these are designed for the iPad and really work better. I think that would be my recommendation, is go with those particular titles. But it's fun to see Arthur's Reading Trouble and some of the Reader Rabbit stuff back on the iPad.
You know, when I was a kid, we had little 45s.
Right.
And a book that went along with it. And so you play the 45, and when you're supposed to turn the page, it goes ding. So that's how you know to follow along, even if you can't really read.
This is just like that,
yeah,
in a way. But it's, you know, it's on the iPad. And we know kids love these.
I was a child in 1930. You know,
yeah, back
when we
in
all
the old
had
days.
Phonographs.
She had, well, it was called a Victrola in those days. Somebody called me on the radio show and said, my daughter wants a tablet, and I was going to get this Leapfrog, which is for like 4-year-olds, 3-year-olds. Mm-hmm. And I said, yeah, you know, those are okay. If your daughter is a trustworthy enough not to throw the iPad at the wall or break it, I would get an iPad for mom and get these apps on it. Maybe they're lap apps initially, but the iPad really is the way to go if you can afford it. It's so much better, and the variety of stuff on here is great. And then mom or dad gets some pretty good apps, too.
Oh, yeah. Look at all the stuff we talked about in our little reading section. I mean, that'll keep you busy all day long. You got Google. You got magazines. You've got breaking news. You've got 3 different kids' titles that are interactive and help them learn to read and write.
You know what we haven't mentioned?
What?
But maybe we're going to do that in the news coming up. There's
what?
Some news, other news stuff from Google.
What is it?
Have you put Chrome on your iPad yet?
I have not.
Did you know that Chrome was available?
Yeah, I did. Okay. I heard about it when I was gone. Just haven't gotten around to it yet.
There are only a couple of things happened while you were gone. The Google stuff.
Oh, yeah.
And then another one from Apple, which you're going to talk about. So I don't want to steal your thunder.
We're on the same show here. It's not like, I want to like hold it for later or anything. It's like anything's fair game. We do want to mention, though, if you're watching live, you already know this, but for those of you who like to watch us live, thank you. But we have bumped up our live time from 1:30 Pacific to 1. So that's 4 p.m. Eastern, 1 p.m. Pacific, 30 minutes earlier. Hopefully it doesn't screw anybody too much. And hopefully it's easier for you to remember. It's on the hour and maybe a little bit more of that either lunchtime or afternoon drive if you want to watch or listen to us live. Of course, you can always subscribe to our show. Video's best. But hey, if you've only got an hour and you're in your car and you can't watch, we've got audio feeds as well. So you can watch or listen to us every week without really thinking about when we're live. Thanks to everybody who subscribes and leaves us nice comments and iTunes reviews, all that good stuff. We appreciate you.
You guys are the greatest.
Yeah.
Hey, if you were in France and I wanted to have a staff meeting, let's say, you know how I would have done it?
How?
Go to meeting. I'd fire up that PC or Mac. I'd set up a meeting, send you an invitation, and then you, because you have your iPad, could join that meeting. And with GoToMeeting, they have HD faces, so you can use the camera on your computer or on your iPad so that you can actually join that meeting. I can see you in the beautiful lavender fields behind you.
Yeah.
You can see me here at the Twitberg House working away. You can hear each other. You don't even need a phone connection. GoToMeeting, it's the best way to have meetings online. Share screens, share your video, share your thoughts. See how people are reacting. It's just as good as a face-to-face meeting, but it's not. And nowadays, with workforces distributed all over the world, vacation time, GoToMeeting is a boon. You can try it free for 30 days right now. All you have to do is visit GoToMeeting.com, click the Try It Free button, see that orange Try It Free button, and use our promo code iPad. That's all you need. By the way, the iPad app is free. There's an iPhone app as well. There are many ways to do it on desktop computers. It's so easy, it's so simple, and it really works well. I want you to try it. If you're heading out for vacation, don't tell the boss, just bring it with you. GoToMeeting.com. The promo code is iPad.
So while I was gone, something that I could not stop hearing about was this new Google tablet. Because, of course, Google I.O. happened while I was on vacation. But I tried to keep up as much as possible, even though I was trying not to. I couldn't really
help myself. Google was busy while you were gone.
Google was extremely busy. Yeah. What's kind of fun is, so Google's got the Nexus 7. Everyone goes, this is awesome. It's killing the Kindle Fire.
Did you get to play with one yet?
No, I haven't. I haven't even seen one IRL. But yeah, so the whole, it's kind of like, with the Nexus 7, now Amazon's really got pressure to actually make a Kindle Fire that can even compete a little bit on specs. You know, you got to have a front-facing camera and faster and better resolution and everything. But it also helps fuel iPad Mini rumors. The iPad Mini that still we don't know is even a reality.
Well, I'm starting to believe it because everybody, including the Wall Street Journal and All Things D, both of which have very good Apple connections, are confirming it now. So I think it's going to happen this fall.
I believe it, too, because Apple is smart enough to say Kindle Fire did great over the holiday season. Nobody's really, well, I don't want to say nobody. Their sales have dropped off significantly since then, but there's certainly a demand for lower-priced, simpler, smaller tablets.
Right.
And the Nexus 7, I think it's going to do really well.
I think so, too. At that price, $200?
$200.
That's an amazing price. There's a lot of people who can't afford an iPad or maybe want to get one for a kid and don't want to spend $500. That $200. And, you know, you might say 7 inches is too small. I have played with a 7. In fact, Jason has one.
Steve Jobs has famously said, you can't go smaller than 10 inches if you want the right experience.
I think he's wrong. I think it really is very usable. I like it.
But he also was known to say things and then just do them later once he figured it out.
Yep.
He probably thought, we don't know how to do the 7-inch right now, so I'm going to say it's a bad idea.
He really, he got on an analyst conference call with something he never used to do in 2010. And went on and on about this. And so that's why it was kind of intriguing, and it's kind of surprising that Apple might do it. Now, it would be very different. First of all, 6-8 inches? It's almost 8 inches. Mm-hmm. It's a little bigger than a 7-inch.
Right.
And it is 4x3. It's not widescreen like the Nexus 7. It's a 4x3 like your iPad.
Yes.
Now, John Gruber pointed out, and this is actually kind of an interesting idea, because some people said, well, if it's that small, it's not going to work. John Gruber pointed out that if you take a snapshot of your screen and then you open it, you actually should do it in portrait mode, landscape mode rather, and then open it in your gallery application, you'll get an idea of how big those icons will be.
I'm not sure you just took a picture.
I know, but I have one here.
Oh, okay.
You'll get an idea of how big those icons will be. This is roughly the size of a 7-inch iPad Mini. So are these too small?
Well,
I don't think so.
And developers don't have to start from scratch.
No,
because the apps will run on any size.
Exactly.
And that's
It's still
smart.
1024x768. It's the same size as the iPad 1 and 2.
Because that's really what Apple has going for it. Yes, the iPad is a beautiful work of art and everything, but it's the apps.
Right.
You don't want to screw with the developers. You don't want to have less than 200,000 apps at anybody's disposal just because they've got a new iPad.
Now, look at this. I think this is kind of desirable.
Ozzy,
not the dog.
Perked right up.
I think Ozzy wants. No, but I think if you look at this, you go, you know what? That's kind of cute. And think about your travels in France. Wouldn't this have been nice to have that in your back pocket?
Yeah. I mean, this 10-inch iPad, even though it's not hard to travel with, it does require a little bit of, you got to have a bag that's big enough. And a 7-inch.
You can put in your jeans in the back pocket. Don't sit down.
Depends on the kind of jeans.
Not your jeans.
Not my jeans.
My jeans. I started
wearing these big flowy linen things. Maybe I should just wear big old jeans too, and just be kind of like
honey, go for the muumuu. Just give it up.
I'm going to. I've been trying.
Believe
too
me,
hard.
If I could wear a muumuu, I would.
Me too.
So
this
I am.
Silly and I
no, silly. You're such a tiny little thing.
But it's just they're fun. Anyway, go ahead.
You don't know what's going on underneath. So I think that this is more than a rumor at this point. I think they're going to do it. Mm-hmm. I think if you're interested, you might want to wait on the Nexus 7 and see what Apple does. I doubt they'll offer it at $200.
See, that's exactly what Apple wants you to say. You're saying that's exactly their tactic. I think, this is speculation, but it wouldn't surprise me if Apple was like, let's start leaking out some rumors.
You mean untrue rumors?
Not untrue rumors, real rumors, but Apple is famously very, very, very secretive.
They want to slow down sales of the Kindles.
Exactly.
Or the Nexus 7.
Yeah, because it's like, well, cool, Nexus 7 sounds awesome, and it's a real thing. Apple might have something a little bit better. Ooh, I read this article on Bloomberg. Maybe I should wait.
I like the Nexus 7, but it is Android. If you're an iPad person, you've got a lot of iPad apps. there's a lot of reasons to stick with the iPad, and I think that's going to be a great product. I hope they do it.
I do, too. And, well, I mean, for purposes of our show, all of a sudden, we've got two devices to talk about.
We're going to have
week.
To have, you know,
we're
should
have
mention
to have
this.
A spinoff show.
So we have a spinoff show. It's called i5 for the iPhone. Sarah's going to start that next week. I'm really excited about that.
I am, too. Thrilled.
It's going to be just iPhone iOS apps.
That's
no
right.
iPad stuff.
Right. I mean, I'll definitely try to mention whenever possible, hey, this is also a great iPad app, that type of thing. But it's iPhone stuff so that we don't have to try to cram iPhone reviews onto this show, which we try not to do too much, but sometimes it's the only place to talk about them.
Then you're going to have to fight with yourself.
I will.
Over who gets the 7-inch. Is it i5 or iPad today?
It's iPad today. It's an iPad.
Okay.
Unless they call it something else, and then we have to have a third show. Which is fine with me, because I can talk about iOS all day long. And I feel like I do, pretty much, already.
You've become the queen of iOS here.
It's okay with me. It's a happy place to be.
Good.
Speaking of iOS, there was an article in Business Insider, rumors that Rupert Murdoch may put the chopping block, take the daily, rather,
and
to the chopping block.
And put it on the chopping block.
Yeah, axe the daily. The daily, of course, is the iPad-only publication launched last year to mixed results. It's not a bad publication, but it is...
It's a buck a week.
Buck a week.
Which now, when you look at things like Next Issue, doesn't seem like so much. But It's not expensive, but it's also...
It's a mental thing for people. Something that's a subscription you have to pay for. You can't get it online anywhere. You have to have it on the iPad only. I believe there was something like 80,000 subscribers
that they had on record toward
November of last year. I might be butchering that number a little bit, but I think it's somewhere around that. Which, if you do the numbers, they're still going to be operating at a loss because it's pretty expensive. They were paying their
reporters. That's the calculation. That's the Rupert Murdoch calculation that he's making in his mind. How much does this cost me a week? How much am I making? He's got 100 reporters, 100 reporters working. There's no way 80,000 subscriptions pays for 100 reporters. So I have a feeling that's a little tough.
The Daily is also, it's a unique app. It's a unique business plan. And it's interesting, and I'm actually glad that News Corp put it together just because it was really an experiment.
Right.
And it hasn't failed yet. This is just a rumor that it's going away or it might go away.
Yeah.
But there are so many other news apps that are just so much better for me. I mean, take Zeit, for example. Zeit gets smarter as the more I use it. That just makes so much more sense to me than the Daily, where there might be something that I'm interested in. And I can certainly read articles on the Daily via what I'm interested in. Technology articles, for example, I'd be more interested in than, I don't know.
I think it's also a compelling argument for the open web. Mm-hmm. And the thing I didn't like about the Daily, I was rooting for it because I want to see some journalistic enterprises that make it on the iPad. But I love the open web, and it wasn't. It was a closed, you know.
And remember when it first came out, you couldn't even actually
link.
Send it anywhere?
Yeah.
You had to have the iPad. I mean, come on.
You could only send it to somebody else who was reading the Daily. That's we want the open web. And so I think this was, I'm not surprised that Rupert Murdoch, who is a big fan of paywalls, did it. But I also wouldn't be surprised if he killed it if it didn't get the right reception.
Right. We got a duh tip from Andy Smith. He's got a good one relating to Siri. Actually, I did use quite a bit of Siri
when
I was out and about. Again, with mixed results. But sometimes it really did save me. It was just kind of fun anyway. Andy says, I just found out that if Siri hasn't quite understood the commands that you've given, you can scroll back up and change any words.
Oh.
He calls it a he. I've never thought of Siri as a he, but anyway. Maybe
In some countries, it might be a he.
Maybe.
It's a female voice here, but I think it's a male voice in other countries.
Really?
Yeah.
Okay. Well, Siri in Andy Smith's country is a he, or he just forgot to type S. He is unsure about what would be marked by the dotted blue underline, so then, if you correct it, Siri will then try to execute the command again. So, for example...
I didn't know that. That's great.
Yeah.
You don't have Siri yet. That's an iPad.
Shoot. Still jet lagged.
Next time, iOS 6.
It was funny. I'm kind of going down, and I'm like, something's weird about this.
Well, you had an iOS 6 laptop the last time you were here, so that's why.
Yeah,
but you don't have it there.
You're exactly right.
So in the UK and Ireland, Siri is a male voice, so maybe this is from the UK or Ireland.
There you go. Let's move on to some of our viewer feedback. This is in response to show 105, which was a long time ago, but hopefully for you, was only just last week. Tomas, who calls himself a nerd and IT student, says, "Greetings from Finland. A cool idea just popped into my mind about all of these user accounts for iPad. I was thinking, how nice would it be that depending on what passcode you enter when opening the iPad from lock, the iPad would automatically sign you into services you've predefined, Facebook, Twitter, etc. It could also sign you into your cloud services, fetch data such as bookmarks for Safari, etc. It would definitely work in a family environment with three or four users where the admin, like dad or mom, would define when setting up the iPad the first time. Unique home screens, wallpapers, login credentials. How cool would that be?" When I first read this, I was like, wait, but if I try a passcode and then I somehow open up Leo's account, I'm like, yeah,
you know, I've that got wouldn't the good be some stuff. Good.
But if you were the admin and you say, I mean, you set up my passcode and you set up your own and they're all random and you say, Sarah, your passcode is 1234,
right.
Mine is something different. I mean, I guess I could try all day to guess yours, but that could be an interesting way into user accounts on the same iPad.
I don't think the issue is how to do it. I think that's a good way to do it. I think there's other ways you could think of to do it. It's whether Apple wants to do it. And I really think Apple's trying to make the iPad a personal device. They don't want you to share
it. They want to sell four.
Buy one for everyone in the house.
One. Yeah, well, and when the iPad mini comes out,
then there'll be another choice.
If it does, then it could be like, well, maybe you don't want to actually spend the money for four Retina display iPads, but you might want to shell out $250 for a few little guys.
It just,
for the kids.
To me, it makes sense. The iPad is a personal device. I don't want to share my iPad.
I don't either.
Yeah.
I am not sharing my iPad with you or anyone. I don't care.
That makes me want to see what's on it more than ever.
Christine Ryan from Melbourne, Australia writes in, "Hi Sarah and Leo. I've noticed that over the past month when reviewing apps, you often mention whether or not they have the ability to do AirPlay. And often it's a case of, shame it doesn't do AirPlay when talking about a certain app. Remember, you can mirror the iPad over AirPlay. Wouldn't this overcome the issue of not being able to AirPlay from within the app?" I guess for the most part, mirroring is what we're looking for. Although mirroring is whatever's on your iPad screen.
Right.
If it's something, if AirPlay is built into, let's say, an app that's showing me a bunch of music videos.
If you're using Vivo, which we love, we've mentioned before as a music video player, what you wanted to do is put the full screen on the TV.
Yeah, I don't want to see the Vivo interface.
Right.
I don't want to see the app on my screen.
So Vivo, which does AirPlay, does it very nicely.
Mm-hmm.
The other side of that is, yes, the iPad does mirror in AirPlay, but there are apps that disable it. So Hulu and other apps won't let you do that. Because.
Correct.
So I think we need to be clear, when an app doesn't have it built in, say it's not built in, you could use mirroring.
Yes.
When an app blocks mirroring, which we'd have to test, then say, oh, by the way, you cannot put this on your big screen no matter what you do.
Yeah. I guess, so if let's say we're in Vivo. Well, you're in an app that you want to watch a video, you want to AirPlay it to your TV, and there's no AirPlay within
Hulu
the app.
Hulu does work with mirroring. I apologize.
It just doesn't have AirPlay in the app
AirPlay.
Itself.
I thought Hulu did not.
I did, too.
Something I've used says, sorry, you can't mirror. Was it HBO Go then? Maybe it was one of these apps.
Oh, it's definitely HBO Go. Yeah. They definitely don't let you because I've gotten my HBO a very weird way.
Did you try to get it on the big screen?
All the easy ways are really tough.
You can't get it on the big screen.
I will say, just since we're talking about AirPlay and I like to brag, there was a really, it was a fun moment on Sunday because I was watching the Wimbledon.
Yeah.
And I really wanted to see Federer win, which he did.
Yeah.
But so we're at home and we can't get ESPN because we don't have cable. So it's like, all right, well, we can watch the ESPN 3 or whatever it is on the web. So we fire that up and there it is, fine. And we're watching, and it's like, it sure would be cool, though, if we could have AirPlayed this to the TV. Shame that this is obviously a Flash player, and it's not going to work on our iPad. But we've got Mountain Lion on one of our MacBook Airs.
The
and
new
Mountain Lion
OS X lets you do that.
Lets you AirPlay. So sure enough, we were able to AirPlay the tennis match. And
how did it look?
It was almost perfect, honestly.
Wow.
The only thing was where the normal TV border obviously is, you know, black, there was like another inch of border. Full screen wasn't true full screen.
That's fine.
Did not matter.
That's pretty good.
It was a fun moment. So that's just going to continue to be more fun when you want to AirPlay something from your computer that the iPad doesn't support.
I think Apple's very smart. This is really a great second screen strategy. You're watching on the second screen and you can put it on the first screen.
Love
anytime
it.
You want. It should always be like that. I think that's great.
It's always fun when I still have friends, and will continue to, I'm sure, who try AirPlay. I would try AirPlay for the first time, and they're like, holy
It's pretty cool
crap.
when you realize what it can do.
Yeah. It's
so we stand corrected. Thank you. And we'll be more clear when we say something doesn't support AirPlay, whether that means you can't do mirroring or it just doesn't support it directly in the app.
Yes. Thank you, Christine. Got a voicemail from someone inside the compound.
Hello, Sarah. Hey, this is an anonymous Apple employee with a tip for iPads that I demonstrate often. The last episode you did, 102, I believe, you were talking about different apps to read for people that want to read while they're in the car or they're blind. This is a great demo that is done simply by doing a triple-click home, so the accessibility feature has to be turned on to ask. The triple-click home allows you to do that. Turn on VoiceOver from there. And from there, you can go to any article on Safari or any kind of text for that matter. But Safari makes a great demo. And especially an article. So you find an article, and in the top, in the URL bar, where you find the tag reader, you click on the reader and it gets rid of all the superfluous information. You're able to take that data and then with text with VoiceOver, you're able to allow the system to read it.
That's neat.
It's Isn't that neat?
Really quite powerful for learning possibilities as well. So just a little tip. We'll see where it goes from there. Great show. Always enjoy it and take a lot of long drives and you guys feel the highways in between Georgia, Alabama, and Mississippi. So
that's neat.
Thanks for
Thank you, anonymous Apple employees.
Now, he said something that we should clarify, triple-click home. You have to enable that in the assistive menu.
Now, for all of you who might not have been following along, I will show you again really quick. You go into your settings. You go into general, accessibility. Let's go back to the very beginning so you follow along. General, accessibility, which is down at the bottom. You've got some options. Down at the very bottom, triple-click home. I have it set to ask. Which is what he
told
me to do.
That's probably a good idea.
It's off by default. Yeah. And that's really helpful. So now I'm home, right? I don't have triple click associated with anything else. You can associate it with other things. And I go 1, 2, 3. Now I've got my accessibility options that pop right up. I can turn on VoiceOver, which is, it's nice to be able to toggle on and off this way. Because once VoiceOver is on, then it's reading everything you're doing. And that can be extremely annoying unless you actually want it to do that. You guys saw that I've obviously been reading weird diet journals.
You're
stuff.
Also listening to music.
Am I?
Yeah, your music's on.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Shows or absolute city breaking.
Oh, see, this is what happens. Once,
here, I'll do
once
one.
It's on,
I'll do one.
I can't do anything else.
I'll
She's
do
just
one.
Gonna tell me.
So I turn it on. So now I'm in. This is in Chrome, Google's Chrome. I've selected some text. 1, 2, 3. Turn VoiceOver on.
VoiceOver on. Landscape.
Now,
button to the right, Chrome, period, multi-line text field, is editing, coming up, summer reading, head MEA blast, and you'll have a blast with our app picks. Plus, how does the podcast app hold up to some of our favorites? And is the daily dying? What? I can't hear you over those iPad mini rumors.
That's good.
Today,
does that sound familiar to
summer reading,
it makes it makes something like I'd want to listen to that show, whatever that show.
It's a good show. Whoever's writing that show should clearly be promoted and given a 3-week vacation.
You can kind of understand. You did. You want another one?
I would like one.
Okay.
Yeah. Why not? It just makes me better, right?
Yeah. You're so much better now that you're back. Oh,
clearly, yeah. Not at all sloppy or lazy or stupid. No.
Okay.
So that's a great tip. Thank you so much for calling in. Apple employees with other anonymous tips that you want to send us, please call 757-504-IPAD.
And that does work in the iPhone as well, I believe. I think so.
Yeah. Yeah, they both work both work the same way. Reminder, I left you our voicemail number. We got a lot of voicemails. Reminder, try to keep them to 30 seconds or less. This particular one was not. It was actually about a minute. But it was a really good tip, so I figured, hey, what the hey. But so many of you call in, and sometimes you have questions, and I'm not even sure how to answer you because I can't email you back, or they're like a 2-minute long voicemail, and I hate not to be able to feature them, but they're just simply too long for the confines of our show. So do try to keep brevity on, and call us 757-504-IPAD. You'll get our Google Voice voicemail, and you can leave us a message there. Of course, you can email us at iPadToday@twit.tv. You know that. I got back to my email inbox after not looking at it for a couple of weeks.
Yeah,
there was a lot of email, and I'm very sorry. If you did email and you think it's the greatest email ever, or maybe you sent us a video and you're afraid I didn't see it, go ahead and send it again. That would be helpful. Or if you do want to send us a video and you haven't yet and you're trying to get up the courage, we love featuring all of you, as you know, as much as possible. So send us a video and then send us the link to where it lives online somewhere.
But a little pro tip, if you include a small animal in your video, you're more likely to get it on the show.
Isn't that right, little Aussie boy?
Today's show brought to you by our good friends at the Ford Motor Company. I don't have to say anything. I love my 2010 Mustang. I love the Ford Sync in there. But I'm kind of excited about getting a new Ford vehicle because the new Ford vehicles are doing some amazing stuff. Take a look at the 2012 Ford Focus Electric, for instance. This is a beautiful, the most fuel-efficient five-passenger vehicle in America, but also it has an API. It's a car with an API. So developers can write apps for it. Ford's done an app called the My Ford Mobile app that does things like you never lose your car. It knows where your car is. So you can look at, you pull out your iPhone, your Android phone, your BlackBerry, and it says, your car is here. It tells you what the charge state is, how many more miles you can drive. If the car's in the garage charging, you can even say, don't charge until off-peak hours because I want to save money. You can say, hey, my go time tomorrow morning, 7:30, make sure that car is 72 degrees in that cabin, and you'll do the heating or cooling off the grid so you don't have to use your battery up. Just little things like this. There's even a My Ford Mobile website where you can keep track of how you're doing. There's leaderboards for people who saved the most CO2, saved the most money. You compete. I'm a competitive type. I like that kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. They have a great eco-friendly route planning guide, where the charging stations are, and a whole lot more. Look, he saved 2.310 pounds of CO2.
Good for him.
Good man.
Yeah.
Here's the deal. Go to Ford.com/technology. You can look at the website and find out all the great technologies Ford's putting in its new vehicles. But you can also go to an EV-certified Ford dealer right now, bring your smartphone, and you can try not only the car, but test drive the My Ford Mobile app, too. Ford Motor Company, a 21st century car company, doing a great job. And we thank them so much for their support of our shows. Look it, folks, if you're going to buy... Did you...
I'm sorry, did I interrupt you?
Did you get addled in the sun in France?
It's Christmas in July, Leo.
It's Christmas. You know, it's a shame when you have a hat that good to only wear it 1 week a year.
Very good point. Why isn't Christmas every day with a hat like
I'm
this?
I'm wearing my Christmas hat.
Yeah, it's your Christmas pimp hat.
Christmas in the hood. What is
Leo gave me this hat. I've never seen it before. I was like, we're not doing Santa stuff in July.
I think we should.
But here we are doing it.
Have a holly jolly.
This guy's the boss.
iPad.
Have a holly jolly AppCap Awards time.
Yay. I missed these. This is where I find out what all the good new apps are.
Yeah. Well, I'm about to tell you about an app that you know all about already, and it's not new.
I love it.
But it's new to me, and it might be new to you guys, and that's the podcast app. It's actually Apple's own podcast app, which finally puts Apple on more of a level playing field with some of our favorite apps like Downcast, Instacast, Podcatchers that allow you to actually subscribe to and listen to podcasts from on your iPad without having to sync between iTunes on your computer. And it's always been really hard to do that before now. So I actually intentionally didn't download the podcast app, even though it came out a couple of weeks ago, at least, you know, on a calendar, while I was out of town, because I knew I wanted to talk about it on the show. And I know we get a lot of questions from you guys really every week saying, why is it so hard? I understand that I've got Downcast works great. It has these great features. But why is it so hard to do this if I want to stay within kind of the iTunes ecosystem? And now it's not hard at all. The podcast app has some limitations. One of the nice things, Downcast is my my podcast.
And frankly, I would still use Downcast. I like Downcast a little bit better.
Well, because it's more fully featured. And it's kind of like a lot of.
The reason I'm so excited about this is that Apple's acknowledging podcasts as a thing of their own. And frankly, if you go to the technology section and you go to gadgets and you scroll down, you might find a really good show in there.
Hey, you know what's interesting? I actually looked at that very section earlier on my iPad, and
here's
album
a couple
art
of things.
Wasn't rendering correctly, here's, so I'm glad it looks okay.
Oh, yeah,
okay
we've updated
yours.
This. They want all album art now to be 1600 by 1600 for the retina display.
So fine to
but
me.
But there's also a switch up here, which is audio and video. So that's kind of, I think, a nice feature. You can pick whether you want to see audio or video podcasts.
Right, because all of our shows, we give you both. But some shows, if you're really looking for something to watch,
right,
you don't necessarily want to be searching through all of their suggested audio podcast comments. This is maybe the dumbest hat I've ever worn.
No, it's good.
That's
whatever. It looks
nice. There's this little bell. It's just
if you wore a muumuu, it might be better.
Okay.
Yeah.
I can do that.
See, here's
week.
An example. Learn to meditate. This is album art that would have been fine in the old days.
Doesn't look good.
It probably looks okay on the camera, but really it's way too low quality.
Look at that M. That's the sort of thing where it turns into, ooh, that podcast looks sloppy. I don't want to listen to it or watch it because album art, it's very judging a book by its cover, but album art is very important. Yeah, so this is, and you're right.
But Apple didn't warn us. We're all scrambling to live up to these new standards. So I don't blame anybody for not having the highest resolution album art.
You can see if you're looking through, and I'm looking through the top station section. If I want to, these are the podcasts that I've said, okay, I'll go ahead and subscribe to these. And if I wanted to see what's going on with This Week in Tech, for example, I've got the latest episode, all my episodes. That go, 10 episodes back or so. And that's great. I can go ahead and edit those from here. I've got some options. I can send these to other people. But then if I go through the top stations area, then this is where Apple does its best to categorize. See, I've got issues on my app. I'm not sure why.
This is a very, the reason I don't like this app, it's pretty buggy.
Really?
You're seeing some of the bugs.
Yeah.
There are some podcasts who don't have album art, and that's what you're seeing there. And so,
but
for instance,
not.
We have provided high-quality album art for KnowHow, but they're using a low-quality version. So it's a little buggy. I'm excited because I think most people, normal people, won't know about podcasts. This will bring it to a higher profile. They do feature most of our shows, which I'm very grateful for.
Sure.
But for our audience, they know already about Downcast and some of the other choices, Instacast, and I think that those are probably more mature. There is one thing I really like about this.
What's that?
Play a podcast, an audio podcast.
Okay. Hold
do you
on.
Have any on there?
Yeah.
You think it looked like you had Twit there.
I do.
Yeah. Just play it and watch what happens. This is the best thing.
When people stop being polite.
Wait a minute. Where's the
Bloomberg Business Week? No.
You don't have to turn it up. Where's the
click the album art up?
Click the album art.
Break the internet tomorrow.
There you go. And there's a little touch that we were speculating about. As you fast forward through it, as you get towards the end, the reels on the right spin faster than the reels on the left.
Oh my gosh, you're right, because there's actually tape.
Yeah.
How retro is that? Yeah. Sorry, guys.
Isn't that funny?
How retro.
I wonder how many young people look at that and go, what is that?
Oh, people
it's a reel-to-reel tape recorder.
Isn't it funny how the more we actually have devices like the iPad so that we don't need things like reel-to-reels, the more that people find it necessary to add them to animations and
Apple seems to. I don't know if that's the trend in general, but Apple seems to really like making everything physically
real. I feel like this, yeah.
Isn't that great? Isn't that hysterical?
I didn't know that was there.
That's the best part of it. To me, that's the best part.
And you've got
of
your little turtle versus your little rabbit.
You can speed it up. That's very nice.
If for some reason that's not obvious, you want it slower, you go turtle. You want it faster, you go rabbit.
So, it's a little scary that the
By the way, pitch correct.
You might be right, Kevin.
So I don't start sounding like a chipmunk. But I do sound a little weird.
That doesn't sound right.
I love that you called me Kevin.
I was going to say something, but I was going to let it go.
Oh, wait a minute. It's not pitch correct.
Prager. You should have him back on because he can tell you about
what it's like to use Google Glass. Oh, yeah,
it is. He'll tell you in private.
See, that those are the sorts of things where even though this app clearly is in its beginning stages and has a few kinks, Things like going back 10 seconds, skipping forward a few seconds,
cool.
Speeding up when I really want to get to the end of the story, but I know I don't have time or I'm running out of time. Those are the sorts of things that I want. So I like this app. It's totally free. It's very Apple-y. Got some nice animation here, obviously.
And you can watch TV shows on it.
Yeah.
I like your bell.
Thank you.
All right.
I'm going to
pause this or we're going to hear a lot of sound. Let me show mine. Now, this is, I won't ever do this again because you're going to do an iPhone show called i5 for the iPhone starting next week. So I won't ever be able to show iPhone apps on iPad today ever again. But this is an iPhone app that works fine on your iPad. And it's called, now, the name is a little hard to search on. So you want to look for /text+photos. If you just search for over, it'll take a while to find it. $1.99. This is a great app, and I'll show you. Let me take a picture of Sarah Lane here. So, by the way, this, as you see, is an iPhone app that I've zoomed, so it's a full screen. But I'll take a photo of Sarah Lane here.
Oh, look.
In her hat.
Sarah from this.
In her hat. There we go. That's cute. She looks like a little elf. Now,
oh, yeah.
Slide this.
Christmas in July. I love it.
Yeah. Hey. And now I double tap, and I can add text to this. So I'm going to say Christmas in July, ? All right, and I'm done. Now, I can slide it around. This is a really nice feature. I can also change. Let me do a portrait mode here, because that's when the controls come in, and there's a bunch of controls, including font controls, and it comes with a good number of really great, fun fonts, and there is an in-app purchase for additional fonts, although it comes with so many fonts, I don't think you're going to need to unlock these extra ones. But really, a ton of fonts. Let's choose Chunk 5.
All right.
I'll put it right here.
As long as it's not Comic Sans, I'm in.
Yeah, and we can tint it. We've got different colors.
Great.
We can size it, so maybe it's too big. I'm going to make it a little bit smaller. Align it and save it. There is a bug which they say they're going to fix on the iPad that sometimes saving to the camera roll doesn't work in this case. I haven't had any problems, but I did notice that they said that. And you can also share it to Facebook, Twitter, Tumblr, Instagram, or email it to somebody. So if you've wanted to put captions, it doesn't have any, thought bubbles or anything. But this is
I
like
cute.
The fonts is what I really like.
Yeah.
This is actually came out pretty well.
That's a funny picture.
Make it a little bit bigger, I think, so that we really know what it's saying. And, because it's kind of fading away, I might tint it a little bit. You can even, I think, put some shadows in. Oh, that's the picture. Wait a minute. I didn't realize that was the picture.
Well, that's better, though, because you tint the picture and then the text stands out more.
Yeah. And so then now let's email list all my friends.
Oh, boy. Look at Sarah.
Oh, boy. Let me tweet that out.
What a
Christmas
nut.
In July.
Well,
wow.
You don't say.
Wow.
This is $1.99. $2.
Yeah. There are, I'm sure, other caption programs. I don't know. For some reason, I like this one.
You know, it kind of reminds me of a little bit of iPhoto, where you kind of got the wheel.
Yeah, you could do the same thing.
And there's a little bit of an animation thing.
Yeah.
I mean, you could do this in iPhoto, certainly, but this is a simplified app.
Yeah.
And maybe if you don't want all of the iPhoto features, this is a good one.
It actually came out pretty well.
Well,
sure
you're just a good photographer.
I'm great. What can I say?
Yeah, exactly.
So that's my app cap. /text+ picture or photo.
Photos. /text+photos.
Right.
If you search for over, it'll be one of the.
It's in there with a lot of other things named over.
Right, yeah.
That's
if you just make sure you're downloading the right thing. Madewithover.com is the website. That's how you know you're getting
and
the right
fact,
one.
In fact, if I tweet by default, it will say that in my tweet. Made
they
with
want
over.
Everyone to know what awesome tools you use to take this Christmas in July picture of dear old Sarah. Hey, Leo, we've come to the end of our show. Are you going to cry? Don't cry.
But we'll be back next week.
We sure will.
As will you with a new show called i5 for the iPhone.
i5 for the iPhone, yeah.
Why do we call it that?
Because each week we're going to talk about five different things. Might be, for viewers and lovers of iPad today, something like five really good podcatcher apps, for example. But it might also be these five really interesting things in iPhone land happened this week. So I'm not going to constrain us to just talking about five apps each week, because obviously all sorts of things are worthy of discussion, whether it's iPad or iPhone. Got to get used to saying iPhone.
You cannot say iPad.
iPhone cases and, peripherals and accessories and things like that. But probably the majority of it will be really cool apps and and stuff like that. I'm thrilled. I'm totally thrilled. And there's going to be a new iPhone out later this year, so it's like...
I know.
We never run out of material because Apple keeps giving us goodies.
Well, and that was the question, was should we do an iOS show that includes iPad and iPhone?
It's too much.
I think it's too much, and I think we need another show, so I'm glad we could do that.
Especially since some people have an iPhone but not an iPad and vice versa.
Exactly.
So, with that, thanks everybody for watching. We will see you here, same time, same place.
This is Ozzy's favorite part of the show. You ready, Ozzy? Help us out now.
Oh!